Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles, praying that this episode goes well. We're doing some firsts. We enjoy firsts on the Catholic Man Show.
Totally.
We are doing a Facebook Live for the very first time of the show. So if you're listening, Facebook Live, shout out. Thanks to for everybody. You're going to hear this episode early on Facebook. So go over there to Facebook, like our Facebook page. We may be doing this on and off, not every episode, but that way you can get maybe listen to the Catholic Man Show a couple days early if you desire.
Totally. We have a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Yes.
We're recording video on one piece of software, audio on another piece of software, while simultaneously streaming it to Facebook on the same video software.
Just a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
This isn't considered a official partial indulgence by listening and watching to the Catholic Man Show. However, I definitely think that there is some atonement that can be had by listening and watching.
So it's not an official, that's what you're saying.
It's not official, but...
But it doesn't have to be official.
There's,
you know,
right. It's definitely a penance.
Right. Yeah,
because it has to be a penance.
All kinds of penance achieves the same effect of an indulgence.
So...
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
I'm glad we got that knocked out. Okay, so if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. That's the first thing we do. Today's going to be an interesting man beverage. It's also a first. Man, we are like hitting some firsts left and right.
I agree.
The second thing we do, the second segment, we highlight a man gear of some sort. I'm excited about this man gear that we decided on this evening.
Yeah.
And then we have a man topic tonight. The topic is silence. The Book of Silence, or The Power of Silence by Cardinal Seurat.
Correct.
Is kind of what we're going off of. Excited about that as well. So, let's jump into the man drink.
Beverage.
Today. So today, our drink is moonshine. Not any kind of moonshine. It is Smith Creek moonshine. It's a flavor of... Which where am I?
Oh, wait, you want the beverage cam?
Oh, we have a beverage. Yeah, I forgot about the beverage cam.
Hit it up
cam.
With the beverage cam.
Smith Creek Moonshine coffee flavor. I got this when my family went to Branson, Missouri, a couple weeks ago. We went over there and I was able to try some of this, and I really enjoyed it. And so I bought some in preparation to review on the show. And so anyway, it is... It's actually kind of light, to be honest with you. Let's get away from the beverage cam.
It turned into a kneecap cam.
Yeah. It's only 25% alcohol, so it's not a strong moonshine. When you think of moonshine,
That's like a liqueur, really.
Yeah, because it's basically 50 proof.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway, let's try it, and then we have a special thing we can add to it later. So
okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So we're drinking it on ice this evening. I've had it a couple times and it's...
You know what? It's lovely.
It's a really good...
That is just delicious.
I actually think that this would be better than Bailey's in a coffee.
You know what? It's almost a little too good.
Well, it's a little sweet too, to be honest.
It's very sweet. It's very caramely. You know, like what kind of... Some coffee kind of has that caramel flavor naturally in it. Well, maybe it's flavored coffee. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah. You know that when the caramel, like, coffee has that natural caramel flavor in it when you drink, like, caramel-flavored coffee?
Mm.
That's what this is.
That's what this is?
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though. It's a nice sipping liquor, moonshine.
Totally.
It's not like, again, it's not like what you think. So moonshine, the word moonshine, do you know where that comes from?
I do not.
Back when in the Prohibition days, they used to have to distill this at night to keep from getting caught. And so when the moon was shining is when they were able to distill. Thus, moonshining.
Gotcha.
So that's what they used to do. Now, we actually have another special man drink that we can introduce if you would like. Do you want to do it?
I do.
Okay. Now, this is what we call White Lightning.
This is the real deal.
This is real moonshine. This is distilled out of Southeast Oklahoma. This is real moonshine. There's no flavor to it. It is basically...
It was not purchased at a store.
No, it was distilled... Anyway, so this is basically like what they start out with every whiskey. You know, they start out here.
Yeah.
And then they put it all in barrels and different types of barrels and aging it in different ways to let it... basically become whiskey.
Yeah, so it starts off as this, then it gets a brown color from the barrel, and then in the end, they water it down.
Right.
It's still really strong
out
of the barrel, yeah.
So this, to me, I mean, it is very strong. It's stringent. It is not something to mess around with.
You can smell like the corn syrup.
The corn?
The corn, which I guess has been turned into a syrup. You know, got to add sugar to the distilling.
I don't know what proof this is, because it was, like I said, it was... distilled.
It's not an official thing.
Right, so I'm not adding much. That's plenty for me. It definitely holds its name, but with this stuff right here, you can definitely tell, okay, yep, this is real moonshine.
Have you ever had apple pie moonshine?
Yes, I have. And there's all different kinds, man. There's like lemon drop moonshine.
Yeah, but like... You can go to the store, you can go to the liquor store and buy apple pie moonshine. It's not really apple pie moonshine, but every now and then you can get apple pie moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is delicious
and
dangerous.
It is.
Because you can drink it fast. Really
fast.
Well,
you can feel like that you're drinking it in moderation. You could be sipping on it, but because of the alcohol content.
Right, yeah. It's not, there's no, that physical effect. You're like, it's not burning on the way down. It's not like uneasy in your stomach. Which typically would happen if you drank something that strong so quickly.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because we are doing Facebook Live, and we probably haven't said it in a couple episodes, Dave, let's dissect why we are actually drinking on air.
Yeah. Okay. So we drink on air because God made the things of this earth good, and we want to enjoy His creation and enjoy it for its goodness. Okay. So, you know, the same, that applies to a good drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not prudes. We're not fundamentalists here on the Catholic
Man
Show.
As we concluded on an episode with Father Kelly, what was that, last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
And so we enjoy a good drink because there's something about having a good drink, especially with your brother, with your friend, that really facilitates a good conversation.
Right.
And, you know, there's another thing that you don't really know somebody until you've shared a meal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's very similar. I think the same thing is going on. You don't know someone until you've had a drink with them. You could maybe interchange those two. You know, if once you've had a drink with somebody, now it's almost like there's a bond between you.
Do you think it's because you actually get to things that are important?
Could be. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like
the
table.
That's a good thought, yeah.
Because, you know, at the table, you hey, not how's your family doing? You know, all the small talk. It's really about, hey, here's, as a family, this is what we should be doing this week.
Oh, and nice weather today, huh?
Right. You kind of bypass all that and talk about serious things.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, could be it. Also, I think that there's something more even fundamental about it, that especially sharing a meal, you are literally like continuing your lives. You know, there's something very foundational about eating, that like, I'm going to live another day.
Yeah.
And it's very important for me to eat, and I'm doing it with you. You know, like, something that's so important, and you've decided to share that important thing with this person. You know, I don't think really we would think about that when we're sitting down, especially here in America, where
dinner is guaranteed.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. There are people here who don't, you know, have a guaranteed. You know, they don't have a full fridge, but for the most part, we're all doing pretty well.
Right. So maybe that's why, you know, that's another reason why
who knows?
why we enjoy.
I'm sure books have been written. On the topic, yeah.
I'm sure. What book are you going to be reading now that you killed Tower of Silence?
I have already started The Interior Castle.
Ooh. That's one I've not read yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Avila. Teresa of Avila?
Correct. Yes. And so far, it's already... The Power of Silence... The full title is The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise. So far, it has been a really good parallel because... Cardinal Seurat talks about it in the book, like basically kind of keeping a space of your interior for this silence, you know, a place for God to reside. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, from what I know about The Interior Castle, that's what it's about. It's about kind of the same thing, having this private place within you that you don't share with anybody, not even your spouse, you know, that this piece of me is for God alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's His place. You know, it's His even more than it is mine. That's, I'm only on the first chapter, so right. Don't so know for
come,
sure. But
you have to come back to us with that.
That's the impression from what I've heard other people say about it.
Nice.
So it's almost providential. That.
Yeah. Yeah. What made you decide it?
I don't know.
Okay. The Holy Spirit.
It must. You leave what else could it be?
You leave a lot of room in your life for the Holy Spirit to be active.
Yes. So. Indeed. Indubitably, my friend.
Well, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're here, Facebook Live, recording live. I don't know. Is that what you call it? I don't know. I'm old. I don't know the terminology. But when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. I'm here with Adam Minahan. We are drinking a combination of Smith Creek Moonshine Coffee Moonshine. It's coffee flavored moonshine. Purchased at the liquor store.
No, at the distillery in Branson.
At a distillery. You could buy this at a liquor store.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure
so this is where we're drinking a liquor store product, which is a liqueur, essentially, mixed with the authentic moonshine.
White lightning.
And it's delicious. You know what? Didn't really change the flavor a whole lot.
No, it did not. Because that coffee flavor is pretty powerful. So
I agree.
Okay, so let's jump into the man gear. Let's do this.
Okay, you want to do it?
No, I said...
You want me to do it?
Yeah, I said I'd let you do it.
Okay. The man gear for today is this. If you're not seeing, this is a chain that I have around my wrist. This chain is not just a chain. This chain represents my Marian consecration. I recently celebrated my 3-year anniversary, my third anniversary of...
Yeah, mine was 3. No, yours was 4, because mine was 3.
Yeah, so when I say recently, I mean about a year ago.
Okay.
I celebrated my 3-year anniversary. So I was privileged enough this year to celebrate my 4th.
Yeah.
It's so important that you keep track of these dates. Anyway.
Okay.
If you read this is a phenomenal book. It's called True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. Bold guy. Let me just throw this out there. The guy was a bold guy.
Bold man.
Not afraid to take a stance on something. You know,
he did not waffle.
You know what I mean?
He did not waffle.
No. So, he said things like, for example, he who has not Mary for their mother has not God for their father. Bold.
Yes. Okay? Accurate.
I think so. There's just not a lot of guys out there today, I think, who would be willing to
lay that down.
Yeah, plant themselves into that territory. But anyway, he talks about one of the a really good thing you can do as a reminder of your consecration is to wear a chain of some kind. He says, maybe around your wrist or around your ankle. And then he also talks about some heavier duty stuff.
On your waist, right?
Yeah, yeah. He talked about some guys who not only did they wear a thick chain around their waist, they attached it to a ball.
Weight. Yeah.
Like it was, they were literally dragging around a ball and chain the rest of their life, you know?
That would, yeah. I would never forget that.
No.
It was, it, let me tell you, it was effective.
Yeah, I hope you didn't have to hunt either. It's like, I don't know. There's just a lot of things that I think you, that would be really, can you imagine trying to get through an airport today? The ball and chain on? Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to take that off. I can't do that.
Nope. Cannot do that.
I can't.
Cannot do that.
Anyway, I wouldn't recommend the ball and chain personally. St. Louis de Montfort, like I said, he's a bold guy.
Right.
Okay, so he might recommend it even today. Who knows? But having a chain, for me, really is a good reminder. I've been wearing it for 4 years now.
Correct.
And it really was a good reminder for me. What I did was I just went to Lowe's and got some chain. You can buy some online, but, you know, you pay like $20 for, you know, 8 inches of chain.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't want one that was beautiful or pretty.
Right.
Because to me, when you consecrate yourself to Mary, you consecrate yourself as a slave to Mary, as a slave to Jesus through the loving care of Mary. So you belong to her indirectly. You know, she's sort of like the next chain of command, so to speak, you know, ultimately you belong to Jesus, but you trust yourself into her hands because her will is so intimately united with Christ.
Right.
So I wanted a chain that was going to be more slave-like. You know, what kind of chain would a slave actually wear? So I tried to find something that was just very ordinary.
Yes. And you didn't put a clasp on it. You and I both, we don't have a clasp on it. So, like, it just stays on your wrist. You cannot...
Yeah, no. I mean, you could take it off if you had some pliers, but...
Right.
You'd have to pry one of the...
links off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that it is... reminded me of Mary.
You want a beverage, Kamet? You can.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Show it off.
So, I've noticed. I've played this game before. I don't know if it's actually a game, but I've tried to log how often throughout the day do I actually intentionally and purposefully think of Mary.
Uh huh.
You know, like okay, as I was driving, you know, keeping myself in her presence. You know, how often do I do that?
Really?
Intentionally.
How many tally marks did you get?
I only got like 16.
16?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
But
I think I would have like 3.
Well, but it was because I was intentionally like planning it. Like, you know,
okay,
it was like,
right.
It's like,
I guess if that's the game you're playing.
You know, because I was like, that's what I was, you know, I was trying to figure out how many times could I think of Mary today.
Right.
And so if you intentionally think about that.
You could do it a lot.
You could do it a lot.
Sure.
You could do it like 5 times in 1 hour, easy.
When I first put my chain on, I was getting a little, maybe a little crazy about it.
No, you?
Yeah, I know. Because at first, it was really tight. In fact, it was like hurting a lot. And I was like, yeah, come on. Like almost like I wanted it to, you know? But since then, it has since stretched out and is no longer tight. I mean, I can get 2 fingers under it now.
Right.
But I have. It's also been an opportunity for evangelization for me a couple times.
Ooh, tell the story.
Oh,
this is a good story.
You mean about Brahms? You
yes.
mean tell me the tell
yes.
the Brahms story?
Yeah.
Okay, so my wife and I were eating in a Brahms. We were on our way back home from we had been at the Wichita Family Conference, and we stopped in Blackwell, Oklahoma. You could probably get some moonshine in Blackwell.
I'm sure you probably could.
And we were eating at probably one of the nicest establishments in Blackwell, which was the local Brahms right off of I-35. And Pamela, my wife, was nursing our 3-month-old.
Yeah.
Let's see, she was born April, May, June, July. Yeah, so a 3-month-old. And we were just eating at Brahms, and this lady walks up, this girl, she's about our age, she's like, excuse me, are you guys Catholic? And we just went, yeah? And she goes, I thought so. I just saw you and I was like, I'll bet they're Catholic. It was like, all right.
Yes.
I don't know how you did that. I think that probably says a lot more about you, than strange me. Lady, yeah. That you could like maybe have like some gift of the Holy Spirit, like the vision
right.
or something. But I'm if there's a vibe that I want to put off, it's the I'm Catholic vibe.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, I asked her, she's like, well, I mean, I just saw you and she's nursing the baby. She had a nursing cover. It's not
right.
like, you know, she was
just
some people.
Right.
Some people do that, you
right.
know, but anyway, just nursing here and eating. And then I saw the chain around your wrist and I was like, I knew it.
They're Catholic.
That was the last straw. So, but anyway, I've also had other people ask me, you know, tell me about that chain you're wearing. And so it's a great opportunity to say, well, it reminds me who I belong to.
Right.
And then, you know,
it opens up the question.
Right, exactly.
There.
And
well, it goes to, you know, people say you're not, the real purpose in life is to serve others, right? You know, to serve God and serve others.
Yeah.
You only live whenever you die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same idea whenever you're consecrating your life to Mary, is that you're only truly living whenever you lay down your life for another. And, you know, laying down your life for Mary isn't a bad choice.
Yeah.
Because she's only going to bring you closer to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the purpose of it. You know, so it's an idea of dying to yourself for the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she's the queen.
Because she is the queen.
In the Old Testament fashion.
Yes. Yes, Ark of the Covenant.
She's the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, I mean, if you go look at David is married to Bathsheba, he died, Solomon took over, and then who was the queen during Solomon's reign? It was Bathsheba. It was the mother of the king. So to belong to her was to have the quickest route to the king. Anyway.
Yeah. And you know, the Bible says the prayer of the righteous is... the prayers of the righteous are
availeth much.
Availeth much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's always best to quote the Douay Rheims, I feel, if you're quoting the Bible. Availeth.
When else
do you get to use a word like that? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, can't recommend highly enough the book True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. You will really love it. If you buy it, don't be too intimidated. It's not a big book, but half of it is the book and half is the consecration.
Right. It's 30 days.
It's a 30-day consecration. There's a couple of versions. I have an abridged version.
Mm-hmm. When's your feast day?
St. Louis de Montfort's feast day.
Nice. Mine's Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm. Which is just, that just
it
happened.
It just happened, yeah. That's why I knew for sure. Mm-hmm. Mine was the third year.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a great practice to have if you're looking to up your spiritual game.
And have it blessed, and it's another sacramental.
Ooh, yeah, great point.
Yeah. Have you had yours blessed?
No, I have not.
Oh.
That's something I need to do.
Yeah, you need to do that. I mean, I didn't think about it for a while when I had mine, but after several months of wearing it, How long have you had your chain?
I think only...
Because I went to Lowe's and just bought all this chain. I've given you and like three other people chain.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't had it for very long.
Maybe a year?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Over 6 months, probably.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, when we get back, we are going to jump into the topic of silence.
The whole next segment is going to be complete silence.
So just enjoy,
it's be awesome.
Enjoy it.
Best segment yet.
Yeah. Close your eyes.
More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Raise thine glass.
I do want to say really fast, for everybody who is listening right now, if you could just stop for a couple seconds, say a quick prayer to two people from the Council of Man, one James and the other is Hiram. James' son is going through some surgery. Hiram just had a surgery as well, so ask for prayers from all of our listeners for them and for their families. That's something that we do really well on the Catholic Man, or on the Council of Man, which is a group of men who go to thecatholicmanshow.com, donate $10 a month to help things like this. This is the reason why we're able to do things like this, like the video. They support us.
Totally.
All money goes right back into the show. We don't pocket any of this money and are able to do things like this, this video, live stream, everything else. And they get a Glencairn glass, Catholic Mancho Glencairn glass, and they also get Facebook access, interviews that we do just for them, things like that. But it's a great way to network and plug into a bunch of guys. We fast together. We pray together. We talk about important issues on Facebook. So anyway, pray for Harem and pray for James and their families as they go through tough times.
Yeah, it's also a place where we can be, I think, more honest about certain things that, you know, have discussions that we wouldn't necessarily have on a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I
don't know. I mean, that seems to also take place for sure.
Right. And we don't always agree, but that's okay. It's actually nice to have somebody who disagrees, but yet it's not something that's like, I hate you.
You finally said it. You've wanted to say it for so long.
That's how a lot of people, you know, if you disagree with them, I hate you.
Yeah, people don't say that. They just pretend to be better than you. They block you. Well, you're stupid.
Anyway.
Unfriend.
Let's go ahead and jump into the topic.
Okay. So we're talking about silence today. And I think before we talk about silence, I think we need to say, well, why would we talk about silence?
I think we've actually already had a topic on silence before.
Have we?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty positive.
What was it? Silence?
On silence, yeah. The importance of it.
I don't think we did.
Okay.
It obviously was not very impactful if I do not remember it. Okay.
If that's the measuring stick, then we only have like three that have ever been impactful.
I remember the episodes.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Maybe you're thinking about yourself.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
I have a good memory for the most part. Okay. So, I think everybody knows that just we're surrounded by noise all the time. The modern life is essentially one stimuli to the next. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, how can I be entertained? We can't even poop without getting on our phones. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's true.
I don't do it. I don't poop without checking Facebook.
Hmm.
Do you?
Probably not.
No. Nobody does.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous in this modern world to do that.
I mean, I'm not a heathen.
Right. Yeah. What do you think I'm paying for a data plan for? Okay. But, I mean, in all seriousness, that's really what it is. So I just finished reading this book, The Power of Silence by Cardinal Seurat. That's basically what I'm going to draw most of the topic, the discussion. Yeah, so there's a quote in this book. Modern society can no longer do without the dictatorship of noise. It lulls us into an illusion of cheap democracy while snatching our freedom away with the subtle violence of the devil.
Wow.
And that's really what noise, all this extra, really what it is a distraction. We're just constantly distracting ourselves. Okay, and we're just addicted.
You think that's because we're afraid to be bored?
Who was it? Oh, Pascal. He had the famous...
Oh, yeah. I actually wrote that down.
The famous quote.
We both wrote down the same thing?
Well, this is an obvious quote to talk about with this subject.
Okay.
All unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot stay quiet in their own chamber.
All of humanity's problems stem from the inability to sit by ourselves for 1 hour.
Yeah, that's the abridged version. I'm quoting the original source. Okay,
sorry.
Yeah. So, between Facebook, television, celebrities, the internet.
Right.
I mentioned to you already. I have no idea why anybody cares about celebrities. Like, why are celebrities even a thing? I mean, aside from the Pope, I get why the Pope is... Everybody wants to know what the Pope is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Pope.
Right.
He's the leader of, like, our souls. Okay? I can come up with no reasons why anybody cares what Kim Kardashian is doing or what George Clooney, what kind of suit did he wear to the latest thing, whatever, or any, I'm not, you know, saying there's anything bad about celebrities. I mean, for them as people. I mean, I'm not trying to offend them. What I'm trying to say is, who cares about what they're doing, you know? So, if we're distracting ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and it begs the question, what are we distracting ourselves from?
Well, that's why I asked. Is it
why
because
are we doing
are we afraid to be bored? You know, that was kind of why I asked that question. Is it because we're afraid to be bored?
Maybe. I think that screens are just... I mean, I think there's two answers. There's a physiological answer and possibly a spiritual answer.
Mm-hmm.
But physiologically, you get, a dopamine rush. When you look at screens, you know, and you get immersed, you know, they have done all kinds of studies where they hook people up to, like, they monitor their brain waves when they're scrolling through their phone. Mm-hmm. And it just is, it's incredible. In fact, there have been insiders, people who used to work for the company on an executive level, who have come out and said, yes, we hired psychologists to tell us how to intentionally get people addicted to Facebook. You know, so that experience is something that you need to replicate. And just like any addiction, the next time you do it, you have to do it more to get the same rush.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there are consequences to living a life full of this distraction, this noise. Okay. I think there's a good example. People who eat sugar like it's going out of style, when they eat something like a strawberry, it doesn't taste sweet to them.
Right.
So if you can eat a strawberry and say that doesn't taste sweet, I mean, I get there's some people who just don't like strawberries. Okay. Pick something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have become so used to this super high level of sugar that when you eat something that's really very sweet, you're like, oh, it's not very good. Okay, so it's the same thing for us when we're used to such this high level of noise. When we have something else that's really good, like game night with the family, all of a sudden it becomes boring because I'm used to being stimulated on a much higher level. Yeah, my brain is used to running a million miles an hour and I'm only running 1,000 right now and it seems, oh, what a downer, you know? So it's like, we're just all addicted to this stimuli and we're just zombies. I've said this before, you know, about being in line and looking around and I'm the only one not on my cell phone.
Right.
And it's like, I'm the only one aware of that. There's people here in this line.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people here. There's someone in front of you and behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing? We're all here to, you know, anyway, Here's another good quote. Here's kind of, I think, sums this up. Without noise, man is feverish, lost. Noise gives him security, like a drug on which he has become dependent. With its festive appearance, noise is a whirlwind that avoids facing itself. Agitation becomes a tranquilizer, a sedative, a morphine pump, a sort of reverie? I don't know that word. An incoherent dream world. But this noise is a dangerous, deceptive medicine, a diabolic lie that helps man avoid confronting himself in his interior emptiness. The awakening will necessarily be brutal.
Wow. Well, you know, Vietnam used to, when they captured prisoners, they used to fill their prisoner cells with noise, with just loud, loud noises. And it was just to completely irritate them and not give them a sense of peace whatsoever.
They couldn't rest. Yeah.
They could not rest. And so that used to be a form of, you know, punishment, I guess, being a prisoner of war. Is Vietnam used to... I'm sure a lot of places used to do this and probably still do.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to give you that rest. They don't want to give you that peace. And it's because you can only find that peace in silence.
Yeah. So the devil has a... The devil wants you to be surrounded by noise. If you read the book, The Screwtape Letters,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's writing to this apprentice demon.
Such a great book.
Totally a great book. He said, just keep him distracted with noise. Even if it's music, make him think that, oh, this is beautiful, but it's just keep him distracted with anything that's going on, you know, so that he doesn't think about himself. His interior doesn't think about the creator. Just keep him distracted. Ultimately, the main point of this book is that the language that God speaks is the language of silence. And maybe I think a better way to put it is that's not his language, but it's his medium. The medium by which he speaks to you is silence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not have silence, then you cannot hear God. That's the big problem, is that all this noise, it's crowding out the still small voice of God. You know, it was the quiet whisper that came to Elijah, not the storm, not the fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was the still small voice.
And Elijah realized that as soon as the stillness and that wind hit, he hit his face because he knew that's where God was.
Right, exactly. Okay, so when we get back, we'll wrap this up. But then I want to talk about ways to increase silence in our lives.
Okay, stop talking.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're in studio today. If you're listening to me on the podcast, go check us out on YouTube, because hopefully this episode made it. Last episode, turns out the audio didn't get attached to the video.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. But anyway, Adam just needs to fix it.
Yeah, I just have not had time.
Adam, will you fix it?
Just
please,
do it.
Please fix
just
it.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about silence. In fact, maybe the last episode, we should just post the video with no audio. It would be...
it'd be a great way, a very beginning to this episode.
Yeah, so I think if you want to increase
great
in
transition.
Silence, watch more silent films. In the dark.
In the dark.
With you.
All right.
Learn to speak Braille. That's a way.
That is a way.
That's one way. Okay, so right on the there at the last end of the last segment, we were talking about the language of God and mm-hmm. how he speaks in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as I was pondering this, because I actually did some pondering for this episode, I realized that it's God respects our free will so much that we have to actively choose him.
Mm-hmm.
If we, it's not like, we don't have to actively choose the noise. The noise will come for us. But God will not force himself on us so much. He respects our freedom so much
mm-hmm.
that we have to seek him out. Okay, he is right there. He's always present with us, you know, waiting for us to turn to him. But unless we turn ourselves away from this noise
mm-hmm.
of this day-to-day life, we won't be able to hear his call. Okay, he's calling to us all the time, and the devil, I'm sure, is far too happy, is overjoyed that if he, in as much as he could be overjoyed about anything, that we are so distracted all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to choose the silence. We have to embrace it.
Well, you have to be intentional.
Right, exactly. Intentionality.
Yes.
And I think that is a really, really, really big... That is huge.
Yeah. Ever since I've heard Father Brian O'Brien talk about being intentional at the 40 Days for Life speech, I have taken that speech... That has been like... You know, there's speeches throughout your life that you hear, and you're like, that has influenced me and impacted me mm-hmm. a lot. His, that one right there, I have taken that and applied it in so many different aspects in the Catholic life.
Yeah.
And in my family life as well, being intentional. You have to be intentional if you want to get things done.
Well, I think it goes back to like the zombie thing. The reason you're a zombie is because you're doing nothing intentionally. You're not actively choosing something. You're just...
Reacting.
Just doing, yeah. Like, I'm just going through life.
I
haven't considered any of the choices that I'm making. I am not weighing their merits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not choosing the good. I'm just simply doing. Maybe some of the things I do are good. Maybe they're not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's sort of like the difference between having a natural virtue and a supernatural virtue, you know. Mm. On the one hand, I just do things because maybe that's, it's a good thing to do. And on the other hand, I do it specifically out of love for God. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's kind of the difference, I think, between...
Have you ever thought about the first time you've ever had the most profound moment? Like the first, your first realization of this is way off topic. I'm really sorry.
I have no idea what it would be.
I've thought about it. Anyway.
Do you know your first profound moment?
Yes.
What is it?
I don't want to talk about it right now. Well, I think it could be a whole show. I think we could probably do like making profound moments.
Yeah.
And anyway, I think that could be a whole show that we could talk about. So I don't want to tell my story yet.
I used to be a baby.
Okay, let's get back to silence. Okay. So, okay, I want to say something really fast because we're talking about being like why silence is important and how to incorporate silence in our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, you know, we're maybe afraid to be bored. You can't hear God unless you're quiet. And I think also being quiet, it like births creativity.
Absolutely.
And we've talked before
about... It's like the shower effect.
Right. Yeah. And remember, we've had an episode before about beauty.
Yeah.
And the importance of beauty in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly one of the reasons why we have so much music that's terrible, art that's terrible, architecture that's terrible, maybe even liturgy that's not strong, is because we're not quiet. We're not facilitating the quiet to procreate this creativity that gives us the beauty that we need to orient ourselves towards God.
Yeah.
What do you think about that stair step?
I totally think that's it. And I think people don't understand. First of all, I haven't said this yet. I am not excluding myself from any of this. In the last episode, I mentioned I couldn't even do a ride home from work in quiet, in silence. Yeah.
I
couldn't do it because I'm also addicted to all of these things. I live in the world just like everybody else.
I struggle with silence sometimes because I can do it. I drive a lot, right, for work. I've driven 2 hours before, and I've decided I'm not going to turn the radio on. I'm not going to listen to anything. I'm just going to drive. And I realize I've had 2 hours, and I haven't thought about a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think about anything. And it's like, what a way. Like, I could have been learning. I could have been, you know, praying. I could have been doing something. So a lot of times I struggle with silence because when I'm not if it's not silence oriented with prayer, I have silence. And I guess, I mean, I'm a stereotypical guy. I don't know what you want to call it, but like, I can literally just sit there and not think about anything.
Yes.
I have to be intentional about being silent, but yet
you're right. Yeah.
Being effective at being silent.
Yeah. And I know what you mean because there'll be some times where I forget my book when I go to adoration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, great. Now what am I going to do? I'm just going to sit here.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's it? And it's like, yes, that is what you're going to do. It's just like the farmer in France.
Mm-hmm.
The priest went up to him. I forget, but it was a farmer, and he was in adoration all the time, just sitting there. And the priest is like, what are you doing? And he's like, in adoration. He's like, I look at him, and he looks at me.
Right.
Okay. And one of the things he talks about in this book is that silence, the presence of silence in a relationship has profound meaning. If you can sit there quietly with somebody else, That shows that your relationship is deep.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's really probably only a couple people that you could truly be silent with and communicate more without words. You know, it's just the gaze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's in this silence between them.
Mm.
Okay, so when you have that is a deep, deep relationship. And that's the kind of relationship God wants with all of us. Okay.
Yeah, because it's the whole wasting time with God.
Right, exactly.
Not that it's wasting time, but you're doing something with somebody and you don't care what you're doing. You're just being, you're in their presence.
Mm-hmm. One of the things the good cardinal says in this book is that silence is a condition for otherness.
Silence is a condition for otherness?
Define
otherness.
Being present with, preparing yourself for another. Okay, so the noise... finally, once you calm yourself down and you kind of get this silence interiorly,
mm-hmm.
finally you can listen. You can hear the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to get on to, we've just got a few minutes left, how to create a good silence in your life. I think a good place to start is evaluating your leisure time and activities. So what is it that you're already doing for leisure? Because I think that a true leisure should have a one-on-one component. It's either me and God, me and my family, you know, me and my kids, you know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, maybe you have more than one person in your family, but it has this otherness. It's me and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if your leisure time doesn't have that, it's not like your whole world has to be quiet all the time and like you can never listen to music or you can, I mean, I think podcasts, that's one of the things I think is noise for me. I fill my time with podcasts mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's like, oh, if I have a couple minutes of quiet, oh, I need to listen to my podcast. You know, and maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't know. And the podcasts I listen to are good. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. they're good. But is that the best thing for me? You know, not all the time, probably. I should probably allow the quiet to fill me every now and then. Fishing. Marcel Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Marcel Brown from several episodes ago, he said, you know, nobody listens to their iPod when they're fishing. And the more I thought about that, like, well, maybe if you're fishing in the middle of a lake, you would play music. But if you're fishing in a stream somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you are fishing. You know, you can't listen to music because you need to hear the sounds. And like, it is a truly peaceful leisure activity.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think should maybe make a comeback.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in on that.
Like, also, it's sweet.
Yeah.
Okay? You yeah. smoke your pipe, catch a huge fish.
I mean, I was trying to catch one with my arm.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Talk about quiet.
Yeah.
Down under the water. And then also, I think smoking a pipe. We've talked about smoking pipes, but there is something so peaceful and leisurely.
It gives, what does it say? They say smoking a pipe gives the guy enough time to think about what he has to say or to shut him up if he's being stupid.
Yes. I agree with that. I've never heard it before, but I agree with it.
I butchered it. But that's the gist.
So, and then the last point I have here in my notes is just about the intentionality like we talked about. Don't just watch a movie because you want to watch something. Watch a movie because you think it will be good for you.
If yeah. you know, that's why I watch very little movies.
If you're going to watch a movie, there's a lot of good movies out there that you can sure. watch. I do this all the time. Don't just get on Netflix and pick a movie. Like, pick something that you think will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like, well, let's watch something. I don't know.
Yeah. Shout out to all of our Facebook viewers that watched this episode live. We've been enjoying Smith Creek Moonshine coffee flavored. Talked about our chain and a little bit of silence.
We talked a lot about silence.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.